Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Thursday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a good morning. We have gotten out of the wet weather here in Texarkana. It's a beautiful day today. It's chilly, but it's beautiful. It's supposed to warm up. The sun is shining. And looking forward to a great day. I learned from Adrian Rogers years and years ago when I went to his conference in late 2003 about PACE. I've told you before about PACE, P-A-C-E, the acronym PACE. And it's how he starts his day, how he started his day. He's in heaven now, but how he started his day off with PACE. And it's something I really taken to heart and practice. P stands for praise. When you start your day, you praise the Lord. You lift your hands up and you praise the Lord. And when I'm walking from the bedroom to the kitchen, I just lift my hands up and I praise the Lord because He's in charge. He is the blessed and only sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so I praise Him for His goodness and His grace. As Lamentations, Jeremiah says in the book of Lamentations, great is your faithfulness and His mercies are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. And so you praise Him. A stands for accept. And that's when you take your hands that are up praising the Lord and you turn them inward, almost like you're receiving a gift. And you say, Lord, I accept the fact that You love me. I accept the fact that Your word, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, says, I am accepted in the Beloved, and the Beloved is Jesus. So the moment that you receive Christ, you are accepted by God the Father because He sees you in His Son. As He said of Jesus, this is My Beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him. And so I don't live in guilt. I don't live in shame. I don't have to live like a second-class Christian. I accept the fact that God loves me, that God is good, that God has a plan for my life, that God does, Romans 8:28, work all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And I accept that and receive that from the Lord. I don't believe the lies of the devil. I'm going to believe and receive the truth of God's word. And then see, my hands are still up. Now I'm not receiving a gift, but my hands are up in surrender. C stands for control. And you yield control to the Lord. And you just pray Romans chapter 12, verse 1, back to the Lord. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And you say to the Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, I just yield myself to you today. I surrender myself to you. Here is my body. I yield it as a living sacrifice. I want you to have your way in me today. And then E stands for expect. And the expectation is that this is going to be a great day because I've acknowledged that God is God above. And he sits on the throne of heaven. The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever, Psalm 29. And I've accepted His truth and His word about me. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and of death, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. And I've yielded control to Him. And I'm abiding in Him, and I'm walking in the light with Him. And so whatever happens to me this day, it's going to be a good day because God is over it all, and my life is surrendered to Him. What a great way to start your day. Practice PACE every day, and you'll see the Lord do great and mighty things in and through you. And when bad things happen, because bad things do happen, we live in a fallen world, and God will let difficulties come in and problems come in. We do what it says in the book of James. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. No matter what happens in your life today, just put it in the joy column. Consider it all joy. That doesn't mean that it is joyful, But that consider it all joy, that's an accounting term. That means you put it in the plus column, not the minus column. That's an asset, a credit, not a debit, not a liability. And you just consider that joy. Hey, God is going to work through that. I had a wreck this morning going to work. Well, God is going to use that. I got a ticket this morning. God is going to use that for good. I just put it in the joy column. I trust him. And I cast my burdens on him, knowing that he is going to see me through. And as the scripture says, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Literally, it matters to him concerning you. Well, I wanted to talk to you today about being blinded by the hate. Some of you may remember the 1976 song from Manfred Mann that was called Blinded by the Light. Blinded by the Light. And now when that song came out, it had a really cool beat to it, but it was hard for most of us to understand the words. Blinded by the light, revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night. I'm still not exactly sure what that song means, but to be blinded by the light. I think everybody's had that experience, to be blinded by the light, especially when you first wake up in the morning. If somebody flips on the lights and you've been sleeping and it's been very dark, and all of a sudden it's just, it hurts your eyes. You're almost, you know, you feel blind. You have to close your eyes because you're blinded by the light. Well, I want to talk to you about being blinded by the hate. We saw firsthand on Tuesday night as President Donald Trump gave his address to the joint sessions, joint branches of government and Congress, either side of the aisle, the Democrats and the Republicans all gathered for his speech. 99 minutes, very long, interrupted by lots of clapping and other things. One guy having to get thrown out, Al Green, the representative from Texas, couldn't contain himself in terms of his outbursts, and he was removed by Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, and rightfully so. I mean, this is, you know, we're supposed to be adults. Those guys especially are the representatives of the United States of America. They were elected representatives. They were, you know, surely you can act like an adult in this room of representatives and elected officials, but he couldn't, and he was thrown out. And so many, what we saw on Tuesday night, we have so many people in our country represented by the Democrat Party that was sitting there in the hall on Tuesday night that are blinded by the hate. They hate Donald Trump so much that no matter what he says and does, they just hate it. Trump even pointed this out, and let me see if I can find this clip. This is what he had to say on Tuesday night.
And once again, I look at the Democrats in front of me, and I realize there is absolutely nothing I can say to make them happy or to make them stand or smile or applaud. Nothing I can do. I could find a cure to the most devastating disease, a disease that would wipe out entire nations, or announce the answers to the greatest economy in history, or the stoppage of crime to the lowest levels ever recorded. And these people sitting right here will not clap, will not stand, and certainly will not cheer for these astronomical achievements. They won't do it, no matter what. Five times I've been up here. It's very sad, and it just shouldn't be this way.
Yeah, very sad, and it shouldn't be this way. And Caroline Leavitt, who is the press secretary and exceptional press secretary, in my opinion, she's young, 27, 28 years old, and just handles herself so well, is so articulate, so well-spoken, and handles antagonistic questions, handles those well. This is what she had to say yesterday as she reflected on what we all saw, those that watched the president's speech on Tuesday night, what we saw from the party on the left and how they could not bring themselves to clap, to approve, to smile, to stand, to rejoice over anything. And, you know, that's what hate does to your heart. It just, it makes the milk of human kindness in a person's heart just curdle and sour. And because you hate this one person, you hate everything associated with him. You hate everything that comes out of his mouth, and you can't rejoice in anything. This was what Caroline Leavitt had to say.
The behavior of Democrats last night was completely disgraceful and demonstrated how severely out of touch they are with the American public. It was the most shameful moment in the history of presidential addresses in that beautiful chamber. In what was supposed to be a unifying moment for our country, Democrat members of Congress instead screamed at the President of the United States, who was just overwhelmingly reelected by their constituents, walked out of the chamber, and worst of all, they disrespected the American people. Democrats didn't stand to keep men out of women's sports. They couldn't even clap for a girl who got her head smashed in by a man on a volleyball court. Democrats didn't stand for an innocent and beautiful child who is surviving brain cancer. They opposed eliminating taxes on tips and Social Security. They didn't stand in favor of cutting taxes for hardworking Americans. They couldn't even clap for two mothers whose daughters were killed by illegal aliens. One of the only things that could get Democrats off their feet last night was cheering for Ukraine, not for America. Last night was a very clarifying moment for our country. The Democrats exposed themselves as the party of insanity and hate, the party that wants to put America last. They've allowed their Trump derangement syndrome to stop them from celebrating America and our people, and we will not allow them to forget that.
That was Caroline Leavitt. It's the party of hate, the party of insanity. And I have friends that are in that party, and I don't understand why, other than they've always been there, and they're just Democrats, and they'll always be Democrats. We've talked before about the yellow dog Democrats, the people that vote. They vote D, they vote blue, regardless of who is on the ticket. It could be a yellow dog. I'm going to vote for him because he's a Democrat. I had a friend of mine that was a judge, and he used to have to run for office. He said, "I always run as a Democrat." I was like, "Why do you do that?" He said, "Because there's so many people that just vote Democrat." He said, "If I run as a Republican, I won't get voted in." Now, this was years and years ago when you could still be a conservative Democrat. You can't be that anymore. You have to sign off on the party line. That's why we saw all the Senate Democrats vote against keeping males out of female sports. And as we had a caller yesterday, he said, "Well, don't some of them have daughters? I mean, when they look at this from the standpoint of being a parent, wouldn't they say, hey, I don't want my daughter to have to compete against a male?" And I said, "Well, they probably do, and no doubt some of those people are against having biological males compete against females, but they have to go along with the party line. They have to toe the line. Here's the script. This is where we're going. This is what we believe in. And unless you follow the script, unless you get in line here, well, you're going to be out. We will usher you out. We'll make sure that you don't stay in the Democrat Party." It's a sad, sad day in America. I saw Scott Jennings on CNN, and he said, you know, he said, "I think we're seeing the total collapse and demise of the Democrat Party." He said they are so out of touch with America, just as Caroline Leavitt said, totally out of touch. And the things that Americans stand and cheer for, the pro-America things, they sit on their hands. They scowl. They have signs made up that says false and things like that. They act like petulant little kids, and it's not a good look. And it's not a way to win friends and influence people, as the saying goes. Well, we're talking about being blinded by the hate. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And we are up against a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about how we need to check our hearts to make sure hate is not there.
Christians. They're suffering big time in Africa, and they need our help. Hi, this is Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and Pastor Lumo ministers in Mozambique near the Indian Ocean. He's been beaten and jailed, not for what he believes, but for how he lives out his faith. You see, Lumo has been quietly and faithfully sharing the gospel with Muslims, and many have come to Christ in recent months, but extremists here, they have assaulted him, his family, and many in his church. But you know what? They're not asking for an end to the persecution they face. They're praying for Bibles to open and read every day in order to be able to endure and persevere as new followers of Christ. Hey, give thanks if your pastor hasn't been beaten in jail, but please don't turn a deaf ear to these pleas for Bibles. Instead, help support the church in Africa by sending a Bible to these waiting Christians at only $5 a Bible, or $100 sends 20. Call 800-YES-WORD, 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 or visit sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, and God bless you for caring.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
While we rejoice that Roe was overturned, the pro-choicers are very energized. They are winning the arguments and elections. We need to win them back. The people who bring you Wretched Radio have produced a powerful, persuasive, and proactive 13-lesson video series to help.
You don't need a PhD to tell you that human life is more valuable than the life of the ants.
Order Life is Best at shop.wretched.org and listen to Wretched Radio Saturday nights at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
As Christians, how can we even begin to impact others when we live in a culture where truth is relative? It all starts with God's Word. Join us for Activate Summit 2025 at Cadence Bank Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, June 12th through the 14th, 2025. The theme is Biblical Bedrock, building on the authority of Scripture, and it's designed to help you acknowledge the Bible's authority and submit to the clear teaching of Scripture. Hear from Frank Turek.
Evolution describes what does behave, not what ought to behave, right? It doesn't give you oughts, it just gives you what does happen.
Todd Herman.
God always uses evil for good. He's very intentional, and he intentionally chose you to live through times such as these.
And more. The main sessions are for ages 13 and up, while Activate Kids is a separate track for ages 6 through 12. Register for Activate Summit 2025 by visiting activate.afa.net/summit.
Activate Summit 2025.
activate.afa.net/summit.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about being blinded by the hate. The old song from Manfred Mann, 1976, Blinded by the Light. But we're not talking about being blinded by the light. We're talking about being blinded by the hate. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 15, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. That's important to remember. When people hate on you for being a Christian and speaking the truth in love, just know they don't have a point of reference. They don't know the Lord, and that's why they do what they do, and we're to love those who hate us, and we're to be good to those who are evil to us. Jesus goes on to say in John 15:22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this in order that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. That's very interesting. They hated Jesus. The religious leaders hated Jesus. He is love personified. He is love in the flesh, and they hated him. Now, you ask yourself, well, why? Why did they hate Jesus? Why would they'd been waiting for the long promised Messiah? And, you know, we sing that song, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. And they had been waiting and waiting and waiting for the Messiah to come. And then when Messiah came, they rejected him. They hated him. They crucified him. And you say, well, I don't understand. Why is that? Well, because they wanted Messiah on their terms. They wanted the Messiah to do what they wanted him to do. And God is not the God who you want him to be. He is the God who is. I am who I am. I interviewed Erwin Lutzer last week at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. We're going to air that coming up here in not too long. But he has a chapter in his book, The Eclipse of God, and he talks about that. He says, you know, we want to make God into our own image, in the God that we like, in the God that doesn't really have standards. He's just a God that winks at our sin and the God who blesses us and approves of our lifestyle. But God is, he is the God who is, not the God you want him to be. So they didn't like Jesus because he didn't fit the mold of what they had in their mind that the Messiah was supposed to be. And they really didn't like the fact that he called them out for their sin. He called them out for their hypocrisy. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, over and over. Jesus says that in the book of Matthew, the woes on the religious leaders. Well, they didn't like that. And he would expose them for their hypocrisy. This people honors me with their lips, he says, but their heart is far away from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. They love the respectful greetings in the marketplace. They were people who they trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. They had turned the Old Testament system into this works system that was a burden for everyone, and they were corrupt, and the Sadducees who ran the temple were corrupt, and they were selling, and they had turned the temple area. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You've turned it into a den of thieves. They were overcharging the people and just extorting the people, the people that came to worship, and they were getting rich off that. It was sickening. But in Matthew chapter 12, we're talking about being blinded by the hate, and we're seeing that in our country. As Caroline Leavitt said, people with Donald Trump, they have Trump derangement syndrome. That's a real thing. I mean, when you hate a man so much that causes you to not be able to see straight, that you can't stand and cheer when a 13-year-old boy who has been fighting cancer is there being, you know, honored for his desire to be a law enforcement officer, and he's there with his family, and you can't cheer that. You can't stand in honor of these parents that have lost their loved ones, but all you can cheer for is giving billions and billions and billions of dollars to Ukraine. And as Ukraine squanders that money, we need to do an audit of the $350 billion that has gone to Ukraine. Where all did it go? As Tucker Carlson said, you know, we're sending them military equipment and they're taking it and selling it on the black market for 20 cents on the dollar. Well, that's not why it was given. And so if that's the only thing you can clap for is giving our money away, then you truly are America last, and everybody else is more important than America. And you really hate America. You know, you have everybody else's flag that you put on your social media page or whatever, Ukrainian flag or the Palestinian flag, but never the American flag. No, you cheer the people that burn the American flag. Well, that is sickening. And your hatred for one man just poisons your whole life. Now, I wasn't too thrilled about Joe Biden being the president because of his policies and because of the things that were uncovered about him, and simply because he was obviously mentally diminished from the man he was, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And that was obvious to all, and people were lying about, oh, he's sharp as a tack, sharp as a tack, sharp as a tack. Obviously, he wasn't sharp as a tack. You're dumb as a stump if you think he's sharp as a tack. So, and then they finally couldn't hide it and deny it anymore. Well, yeah, he's diminished. Good night. How did this happen? Well, it didn't happen overnight. People have been telling you that for a long time, but now you're just forced to admit the fact that, yeah, we've known for a long time he doesn't know which way is up or down. But so you take a guy like that. Well, I didn't hate Joe Biden. Prayed for Joe Biden. Asked the Lord to open his eyes to the truth so he could come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved from sin and death. You know, you cannot like what a person does, and you cannot like what a politician stands for. That doesn't mean you hate them as a person. I remember talking to Dr. Jerry Falwell Sr., and we were talking about, he came to our church about a year and a half before he died, and I talked to him and I said, you know, Dr. Falwell, I'm always amazed at how well you do on television when you are with, you know, going up against Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson or some big time liberal. And he said, well, I said, you're always very kind to them, even if you're going to, you know, disagree harshly with them. You do it in a way that is kind. And all those guys liked Dr. Falwell. But he said to me, he said, well, Jeff, they're liberal, and I disagree with them, but I don't have animosity in my heart toward them. You know, I don't see them as the enemy. And obviously, they're being used by the enemy. The enemy is the devil. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, but resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And so the devil is the enemy. He uses people, but people are not the enemy. People are the mission field. So we cannot allow ourselves to get blinded by the hate. We need to love people. And when we see people doing things and coming after us or saying things that are just outrageous, now we can have righteous indignation. I like to tweet by Elon Musk that said, any parent or doctor who butchers a child or feeds them drugs and fosters this lie that they're in the wrong body. You know, President Trump said, you are made perfect by God. You're a little boy, little girl. You just go with it because that's the way God made you. He didn't make you a mistake. And any parent, any doctor, anybody that's influencing these kids to have surgery, to mutilate their bodies or to take drugs to destroy their bodies, they ought to be put to death and at least put in prison for the rest of their lives. I agree with that. But even a person that would do that and that we would say, hey, you forfeit your life to right to life. That doesn't mean we hate them. You know, the police officer who pulls you over and gives you a ticket doesn't necessarily have any feelings toward you one way or the other. Now, he can if you carry on like an idiot. But, you know, normally he's pretty indifferent. Hey, you were speeding. Speed limit's 55. You were going 75. Here's your ticket. Have a nice day. They're not screaming in your face. They're not all upset. I hate you. I can't believe you're on the roadways. They're not doing that. They're just saying, here's the law. This is what you did. And here's your ticket. So we can, if we're not careful, get blinded by the hate. And we're seeing that in our country. We're seeing those on the left, the liberals on the left, those in the Democrat Party, they hate Donald Trump so much that they can't see straight. And a lot of that could be that he's getting ready to, and he's starting to uncover the money trail. As we had a caller yesterday, he said, you need to follow the money and see where all this money's going, because the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. And so you follow the money. The three things that destroy a person. Deuteronomy chapter 17, God warns about this concerning the king, concerning the one that was going to be in leadership over his people. He's not to multiply wives for himself. He's got to watch out for the temptation of sex. He's not to multiply horses. That is power, military power. And then he was not to multiply silver or gold in taxation. And that is the temptation of money. Money, sex, and power are the three things that destroy a person. They are the three big temptations in leadership. And so you have to watch out for those things. And I think if you do see these people that, as was stated, you know, do they really not have any kind of conviction when it comes to biological males playing in female sports? Well, they probably do, but they're just knuckling under. They're kowtowing to what they've been told by the puppet master. This is the way you go. This is what you say. Here's your script. Here's how you vote. And the question is, well, who is the puppet master? Is it George Soros? Is it Nancy Pelosi? Is it Chuck Schumer? Who is it? Is it Barack Obama? Who's the one calling the shots? Ultimately, it's the devil, because the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Jesus called the devil the ruler of the world. And he can't do anything if God doesn't allow him to do it, but God has given him enough rope. And the devil is working to deceive, and he's working to push this world to a one-world government and push this world to a one-world leader. Now, speaking of that, just to preview, tomorrow I have Jeff Kinley on the program. Jeff Kinley is a prophecy expert, and we're going to talk about the rise of the Antichrist. What does the Bible have to say? Because there are some people that believe Donald Trump is the Antichrist. As ludicrous as that may seem, it was ludicrous when I heard it. They actually believe this. Donald Trump is the Antichrist. Hey, if you think in your mind, your mind is so warped that you think Donald Trump is the Antichrist, well, of course you could never see him do anything good. I mean, no matter what, as Trump himself said, there's nothing I could do. I could heal disease, and it wouldn't be enough. I mean, it would not cause you to smile, not cause you to clap. There's nothing I could do. Why? Because you see me as the Antichrist. And what good is in the Antichrist? Nothing. He is evil from, north to south, east to west, from front to back. He is just evil to the core. Well, interestingly, in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus, they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and dumb, and the Lord healed him so that the dumb man spoke and saw, and the multitudes were amazed, and they said, "This man cannot be the son of David, can he?" And they weren't saying that in a negative way. They're like, wow, this must be the son of David. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This man casts out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons." They had to come up with some explanation of how this power was displayed. So they said, well, he gets his power from the devil. And Jesus just basically said, well, guys, that doesn't even make sense. That's ridiculous. How does that work? How does Satan cast out Satan? Any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, then he's divided against himself. How then is his kingdom going to stand? Doesn't make sense. Their arguments were so blinded by hate that they couldn't put together 2 + 2, and they couldn't come up with 4. That is happening before our eyes, in our world, in our country, as people are blinded by the hate. I hope that's not true of you. And we need to keep our hearts clean and pure so that we would love people and speak the truth and look and do things that bless people, not things that hurt and curse people. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We are up against a break, but when we come back, we're going to be opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we would love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, please give me a call and let's talk.
what we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true people are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care, whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with. Here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes, a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE, 833-44-BIBLE.
The words you are about to hear are taken from letters sent in by members of the Trinity Debt Management Program.
Dear Trinity, today I'm making my final credit card payment.
Before I came to you, I was in a constant state of anxiety and panic, but now there is hope for my family's financial future.
Working with Trinity made me understand that I'm not alone.
You really do help people.
Your kindness will never be forgotten.
Without Trinity's support, I would not have achieved my lifelong goal of becoming debt-free.
We saved a lot on interest and penalties, of course, but the reward was the gift of human kindness.
Trinity has carried me through a very difficult time in my life. You're amazing.
I used to feel so anxious and hopeless. Now I feel grace and peace.
God bless Trinity as you continue to help others become debt-free.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Hey, let me just mention to you, you've heard a lot on American Family Radio about the movie Culture Warrior. CultureWarrior.movie is where you can go to watch the documentary about Don Wildman, the founder of American Family Radio and American Family Association. The movie is called Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. It is so well done. It's very eye-opening, and it's very encouraging because what you see from this movie, Culture Warrior, is how one person can make such a difference. Now, granted, Don Wildman was a special guy, and he was very dedicated and very disciplined. He's not a one-talent guy. Don Wildman was very smart, five-talent guy, we could confidently say. But he put those to use. He didn't bury five talents in the ground or two talents in the ground or one talent in the ground. He put what God gave him to use, and God used him in a great way. And so I encourage you to check out culturewarrior.movie, find out about Don Wildman and the roots and the foundation of American Family Association, American Family Radio. It will be a blessing to you, and it'll encourage you to say, hey, what, as I learned from a line in a movie called The Edge with Anthony Hopkins, what one man can do, another man can do. God is no respecter of persons. And if you want God to use you and you will yield yourself to him as Don Wildman did, God can use you too. And he wants to use you. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment. We've been talking about being blinded by the hate. And we're seeing that in our country as people have Trump derangement syndrome to such a great degree that they can't rejoice over anything good going on in America. So we definitely don't want to be like that. We got to make sure our hearts stay right toward God and toward people. The greatest commandment, to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second greatest commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. So we need to make sure our hearts are right vertically with God and horizontally with man. Well, we have Greg on the line from Mississippi. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. Hey, Brother Jim. I really enjoyed the message, the program this morning.
Thank you. You
were just talking about, I call him old Biden, being sharp and everything. And I remember you had made a statement that, the Christian walk is kind of like riding a bicycle. We're either moving forward or falling off. And I don't know if you may remember, but do you remember when O'Biden's on the bicycle and he comes up to all the crowd there, and I think somebody catches the handlebars to keep him from, just plowing through. But anyway, he stopped, they balanced him for a minute, and he just falls literally over. And I just thought that, I don't know, for some reason my mind went there. he's sharp as a tack. I've never seen him any sharper,
Right.
Hilarious. Yes. But anyway, my point I had was, the problem, Bro Jeff, is not, so much as fixing the mess that O'Biden has created, but it's rather than fixing the mess that created O'Biden, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Anyway, just had that on my mind and sitting back and enjoying the show, and we love you guys, and God bless you.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate that. Appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you listening. And the mechanism and the machine that is pushing all these people this way, that's we talk about the unseen hand of God. Well, there's also the unseen hand of the enemy of our souls. And as I stated, 1 John chapter 5, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. He is at work. And he's the prince of the power of the air, and he is speaking lies that people so readily believe. I have a new book coming out in just a couple of months called The Devil's Newsroom, How We Can Mute the Lies of the Devil and Tune Into God's Truth. That's how you defeat lies, is with the truth. And so we need to immerse ourselves in the truth of the Word of God and see our world, see our culture through the lens of Scripture, because everything has to come that way. Once you start looking at Scripture through the lens of culture, you're going to get lost, and you're going to lose sight of what is true north. So we have Steve on the line from Texas. Steve, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, Pastor Shreve. Thanks for having me on. First of all, the thing you just said about the hidden hand of the enemy, that's absolutely true, and we should call it out when and wherever we can. There's people who will take it as negativity, but the problem is that we're just so immersed in for so many years that it is what it is. At the same time, provide the direction ahead. But what I was actually calling out, I've been trying to get a hold of you for a few days, is you had Bill Federer on the other day, and he happens to have written one of my favorite books. It's a book called Who is the King in America and Who are the Counselors to the King? It's a phenomenal book, and it's right up there with Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire by Gibbon, Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates by Matthew Trujillo. It's just a great book for every American to have in their arsenal to have a concept of history and some of our more legal-oriented doctrines in this country.
Yeah.
I'd hope to call in and thank him for writing him the other day when he was on the show, but this will have to do.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Steve. Yeah, Bill Federer, William J., as his books call him, William J. Federer, he's written a number of great books, and that one that you mentioned is a great one. So he gives you, he's he's one of the top historians, in my opinion, in the world. And that guy knows more about times and places and people and dates than anybody I've ever met. And he's able to piece it all together. And, you know, sometimes that stuff can get kind of confusing for us. But Bill has the unique ability to kind of boil it down and help us see, well, this is the big picture. This is what's going on. And these are how the devil is using these people in this situation and how God is using people to thwart that. So I appreciate you calling in, Steve. I appreciate giving a plug for Bill's book, Who is King in America? And I'm trying to remember, I think that's what it's called, something like that. But you can go email Bill Federer and you can see all the many, many books he's written. So we have Jay on the line from Texas. Jay, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff. In a men's Bible study the other night, I was discussing Jesus on the cross and the substitution and the propitiation and the imputation of our sins. And they started coming at me with Jesus becoming sin. And I said, Jesus never became a sinner. He was holy through the whole thing, pure as God could be. But the question revolves around what Paul had to say in 2 Corinthians, that Jesus became sin for us. Can you become sin without, and then not be sin once you've been punished?
Yeah, so 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I look at that, Jay, as I'm with you. Jesus didn't become a sinner, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. And so I don't think it's the attitude that he became sin, but he took on all the sin of the world. He drank what was in that bitter cup as he kept praying, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. So he took your place, he took my place, and the sins of the whole world, he bore those on himself and in his body, as it says. So I think if you get the idea that all of a sudden Jesus becomes a sinner, that can kind of lead you down a wrong path. He died for sinners. The Lord put all the weight of all the sin of all the world upon him, but he was this sinless, spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So I think that it can get a little technical, but I think that's probably a better way to view that.
I think so. I mean, he became like sin, but he didn't actually become sin. I mean, I don't know how that could work.
He took on the sin debt and the sin punishment, and so before the Father, he's bearing everybody's sin. And when you think about this one man taking on all the sin of all of humanity, all the rape, all the murder, all the incest, all the abortion, all the hate, all the terrible things that people have done. He took all of that into himself. If you just think of the sins of your own life, and then you start thinking of the sins of Jeffrey Dahmer, the rapist, necrophiliac, and all the things that guy did, a murderer. Sickening. And Jesus is taking all that on himself. No wonder he prayed three times, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. That cup was the most putrid cup that has ever been. And he drank every last drop, and he did it because, as a friend of mine told me last night, you know, Hebrews chapter 12, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He did that because he could see into the future that his sacrifice was going to pave the way and tear the veil from top to bottom, so that sinners like you and me, Jay, can have access to God and can be in heaven with him one day, for all eternity, and it was worth it. So I appreciate the question. I appreciate you listening to the program. Thanks, brother. Well, we have Michael on the line from Alabama. Michael, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning. Go ahead.
When you were talking about the puppet masters, I believe George Soros, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, all of them are under demonic control. And I think they're all puppet masters. I mean, that's just the way I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, they're obviously involved. George Soros is very involved in using his money. And as Elon Musk is starting to uncover, George Soros is a master at setting up an NGO that gets money from the government. So it's not that he's just using his own money to invest in all these terrible candidates and all these terrible ideologies that would influence America. He's using our money to do that, which is really sickening. But hopefully that's all going to be exposed, and people that are doing those terrible things, they're going to have their funding cut off, and there are going to be consequences for that. Just like with ICE, you know, ICE is trying to do its job in removing people who are here illegally, especially people who are very dangerous. And people tip these guys off. Hey, ICE is coming. Well, that is that's a serious crime to do that, aiding and abetting criminals and putting law enforcement officers' lives at stake. And so those guys need to be found out, and they need to be prosecuted for what they're doing. We need to return, obviously, as Donald Trump has campaigned on and wants to do, return our country to law and order so that we would operate where Lady Justice puts back on the blindfold. They're not a two-tier justice system, and people do have to account for their crimes, and that there is a just punishment for doing these terrible, horrible things against America. So I appreciate that, Michael. Thanks for calling in. I think we have time for one more call. We have Kay on the line from Texas. Kay, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I love listening to your show, and it's always very helpful in the word today about hate and being persecuted for doing what's right, you know, whatsoever thing is true, just, pure, lovely. I grew up with that I was in missionettes and was a nurse for 37 years and got stricken with illness. And I've been persecuted by my family, and I have hate and bitterness in my heart for losing my, it wasn't just a job, it was a ministry for me. And I really struggle with how to handle that.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Kay. I appreciate you being so honest about things. Well, I think one of the things that helps when people hurt you and the bitterness starts seeping in, if you'll pray for that person, you just confess that to God. God, I know my heart. I know I have bitterness toward this person or these people. And Lord, I don't want to have that because you love them. And so help me to love them, and ask God to cleanse your heart from that, and ask and start asking God to bless that person or those persons and to work in their heart and in their life. And just remember, they do what they do because they don't so often they don't know the Lord. And so they don't have that rudder and that point of reference. And so just continue to pray, continue to trust Him, continue to forgive. Day after day after day, say, Lord, I'm just re-upping my commitment to forgive this person for the harm that they did to me. And you'll see God do a work in your life. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.